वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णु गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरा गुरु साक्षात् परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण, जय गुरुदेव। डियर डिवोटीस, आई प्रे टू गॉड टू शावर हिज ब्लेसिंग्स ऑन ऑल ऑफ अस विद पीस एंड हैप्पीनेस। टुडे we will be discussing on chapter 7 of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled Jnana Vijnana Yoga, the Yoga of Wisdom and Knowledge. In chapter 6, verse 46, the Lord described the glory of the yogi, and in 47 he said, of all the yogis, he who devotedly worship me with his mind focused on me is considered by me to be the most devout yogi. That is, the Lord is directing Arjuna to meditate on him. He did not tell Arjuna the exact object on which to meditate upon. Therefore, meditation without knowledge is not possible. It is not possible to meditate without having the knowledge about what to meditate on. Therefore, in the very first verse of chapter 7, he tells Arjuna, O Partha, hear how with mind attached to me and devoted to me and practicing yoga with me as thy refuge, you will know me in full without doubt. Hence, yoga means that is union with God. With your mind attached to me, when the Lord says me, it could be interpreted in three different ways. Number one, the devotee can meditate on the form of the Lord. Number two, he can meditate on the form of the soul. Or thirdly, he can also meditate on the super soul. In verses 2, he says, I will declare in full this wisdom together with knowledge, but knowing which there shall be nothing more to be known. No one can describe the Lord in full because the knowledge about him is limited to man. So, and he goes further in verse 3, he tells Arjuna, among thousands of men, scarcely one strive for perfection. And even though those who strive for perfection, hardly one knows me in reality. As in verse 2, the Lord had told Arjuna that he will unfold him the knowledge combined with realization. The Lord now explains to him about himself, about his nature, about his prakriti, which he described in verses 4 to 6. It starts off, Bhumi rapo nalo vayu kham mano buddhire vacha ahamkara iti yame bina prakriti astada. He said, earth, water, fire, air and ether, mind, intellect and ego, these constitute the eightfold divisions of my nature. Now, Lord is explaining about his nature. He's telling him first the eightfold division of his nature. He said, this is my lower nature. And furthermore, I have a higher nature by which the whole universe is sustained, which is the life principle essence. So, in verses 4 and 5, God is telling to Arjuna of his nature, his prakriti, his lower and his higher nature. Now, let us see. He has got a lower and a higher nature. This lower nature of God belongs to the sentient or perceivable form of the Lord. That means it's the eighth part. And the ninth part, which is the soul or his life principle essence, which is insentient, which is not visible. Not visible. One, the first, the, as you say, the first lower prakriti is something you can see, and this is something you higher prakriti cannot see. The ninth part is the soul of his life principle, which is insentient or not visible. So, by the combination of the two, that means the lower nature and the higher nature, the combination of the two, the Lord said, this is the my combination, and this combination, the whole universe, alone with, along with living things, has come into being. Whatever we see, whatever it is that God has created, this thing, from His nature, His lower and higher nature, a joining of the two together. Now we must understand that these two, lower and higher nature, each functioning in the embrace of each other, causes the manifestation of the whole world. The soul or the spirit on its own will not find a field of its expression. And the matter, that the lower nature by itself, is in earth and will not be able to work. For example, electricity expressing itself through the filament of the bulb manifests as light. So, without the bulb, the light in the electricity cannot be manifest. Similarly, the bulb can, nor the bulb can light up without the electricity flowing through it. So the bulb is the equipment functioning through which electricity expresses itself as light. The lower nature is He, the higher nature is also He. And the whole universe is created in Him, is created, and in Him it dissolves. Like endless waves rise in the ocean, there is nothing other than the ocean itself. But none of us, but none of the waves can rise nor stay and nor ultimately reach anywhere but in the ocean. The Lord further explains, there is nothing whatsoever in this that is higher than Him. Nothing at all. Just all that is here is strung on me as rows of gems on a string. Now, from verses 8 to 12, the Lord declares and tells Arjuna about His manifestations. I am the separity in water, radiance in the moon and the sun. I am the sacred syllable Om in all the Vedas, sound in nether and manliness is man. I am the sweet fragrance in ether, brightness in the fire. I am life in all beings and austerity among ascetics. O Partha, know me as the eternal seed of all beings. I am the intelligence of the intelligent, the glory of the glorious. I am the strong of the strength, I am the strength of the strong, devoid of desire and passion in beings. I am desire, not in conflict with virtue or scriptural injunctions. Whatever other entities that are born of sattva, rajas, and tamas, know them all as evolved from me alone. I am not in them, but they are in me. When the Lord is saying, I am not in them, and they are in me, let me give you an example. Example, and here the example is very nice about the pole and the ghost. The pole will say, you saw me as a ghost last night. It was only your vision. In daylight, now you see, I am the pole. And furthermore, the Lord said, they are in me, I am not in them. Just so, that means the ghost is in the pole, and the pole remains as a pole. The pole is not in the ghost. It's very loud and clear. The Lord further continues that deluded by this threefold of prakriti, threefold nature, that is sattva, rajas, and tamas, the world does not know me as I am above them and imperishable. Because of this, gunas, is of his yoke maya, they do not know me. And he further says to explain that this divine illusion of mind consisting of these three gunas is hard to overcome. However, those who take refuge in me will cross it. But on the other hand, there are people, the evildoers, the deluded, the lowest of men, deprived of discrimination, of deprived of wisdom, having embraced the demonical nature, do not take refuge in me. So there are people who pray to God, and there are people with demonical tendencies, they do not pray to him. But there are others who take refuge in me. So the Lord is explaining here, there are four types of people that pray to him. Chaturvidha bhajate mam jana sukritino arjuna artho jigyasu artharsi jnani cha bharatasava. The virtuous ones who worship me is of four kinds. The man in distress, number one. The man in distress, he wants liberation from unhappiness. Number two, the seeker of knowledge, that is, he wants to satisfy his curiosity and no more. Number three, the seeker of wealth, means one who wants to attain material wealth and so forth. And number four, the man of wisdom, that is, he wants to know fully to attain God, how to attain God. Between the four types of devotees, the man of wisdom, ever steadfast and exclusively devoted to me, for am I extremely dear to him, and he is extremely dear to me. My dear Arjuna, all these devotees are noble, but the man of wisdom is verily my own self. This is my view. For this devotee who is steadfast in mind is established in me alone as the supreme goal. Such a devotee surrenders to me without expecting any response or want from me. He is so established in me and is not affected by favorable or unfavorable means. The other three types are also generous devotees. Gradually they will uplift themselves. Though they are doing bhakti with the fruit in mind, But one day, they will be able to let go of the attachment of the fruit and become knowledgeable devotees. At the end of many births, the man of wisdom comes to me, realizing that Vasudeva, the Supreme, is all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. In the next three verses, the Lord describes that those devotees who seek refuge in other gods, those whose discrimination has been led astray by various desires, being bound by their own nature, worship other gods, undertaking and observing rites in the fulfillment of those desires. That means their discrimination is led to desire and the worldly pleasures and prosperity, and enjoy heavenly pleasures also. They pray to various gods. They do not apply their discrimination on God realization. They are satisfied with this. Whatever form a devotee is worshipped with faith, I establish the faith of that particular devotee in that very form and with, and since the deluded ones worship other gods, their desire is very finite. They worship other gods. They desire the finite sense objects, worldly things. They do not come to the all-satisfying peace, and hence the Lord says, verily, the fruit that accrues to the man of little intelligence is finite. The worshippers of the Deva goes to the Devas, and my worshippers come to me. For these devotees, ever their finite desires are fulfilled is only impermanent. And those who worship the Lord go to the Lord, which is permanent. Since who worship the gods gain fruit, which is finite and perishable, then why do they get entangled in it? The Lord gives the explanation in the following verse. He said, men of poor understanding think of me as the unmanifest, as having manifested, not knowing my supreme state, my supreme nature, which is immutable and unsurpassed. These men of poor understanding think of me as having been born and dead. That is, I take birth and die. Just like ordinary men, they think I am also manifest in the middle state only, like all the human beings. They do not know my supreme state, immutable and unsurpassed. So their desires are attracted towards the gods. Why do people think of the Lord as an ordinary man? The Lord explains here, wheeled by my yog maya, my divine potencies, I cannot manifest to all. So he's not manifested to all. Hence, these ignorant people do not recognize me as the unborn and imperishable Supreme Spirit. They take me to be subject to birth and death. The Lord is veiled by his yog maya to those who do not recognize him unborn and imperishable. But no one can remain covered with this sort of a veil before him. That means the Lord is veiled by his yoke maya. We cannot see him. But he says he can see everybody. There's no veil at all, and you can see everybody. This fact is mentioned in the next verse. I know, Arjuna, of the past, the present, and the future, but no one knows me. When the Lord declared that no one knows him, but why do people not know him The answer is provided in the following verses. He explained, man is generally influenced in this world by rag and dvesh. That is attachment for having pleasures and detachment. Dvesh means detachment for not having, for unpleasant things. On sense, that means because of rag and dvesh means the happiness and sadness, you know, pleasure, unpleasurable, all these duals of dualities, man and these are the obstacles in the path of God realization. But the striver with his mind attached to God and taking refuge in him and practicing karma yoga will without doubt reach me in full. The devotee thus is gradually able to modify his character without having traces of impurities in his mind. And then he is in a state where all his sins, his papa, are destroyed. He can easily disassociate himself from this rag and dvesh, that is the path of opposite, and become pure and saintly soul. Such a pure great devotee or a pure soul takes refuge in me and strive for deliverance from old age and death, and realize then full that Brahman, the absolute, the self and all actions. And finally, those who know me in the adibhuta, that is pertaining to the elements and Adideva pertaining to the Brahma and Adiyagya pertaining to the sacrifice know me, and they also know me even at the time of death, steadfast in mind, know me completely. In short, this chapter closes with a total assertion that he who knows me knows everything. So in this chapter, the Lord is telling about his nature, who is it, what is it, how do people pray to him, what type of people pray to him, and how they are dedicated to him and ultimately reach God. Jai Sri Krishna, Jai Gurudev.